Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. Everybody, for coming. I'd like to start with a just a refuah shleima for my grandmother, my mother's mother. Last week, she spent a few days in the hospital. Baruch Hashem, she's home, but she should have continued refuah. Her name is Michla Bas Rivka. So I want to discuss today the Gemara, famous Gemara, the story recounted in Masechtas Gittin, starting on source 1, on Nunhei Amud Beis. And the way I got onto this topic, although it is timely for Tisha B'Av, was I was reading a sefer called Upir Yoy Masuk, which has very many fascinating Divrei Torah in it. And there was a riddle. There was a riddle in the sefer which asked. He says, "How many halachas could you name throughout Orach Chaim, throughout the regular part of Shulchan Aruch that we're familiar with that are related to the sugya of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, but have nothing to do with Tisha B'Av and Avelus?" And I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, I don't know. And I've learned Shulchan Aruch, many of it, many parts of it, not all of it, but and I'm trying to think about different halachas that maybe are related to Kamtza, Bar Kamtza, that are not Tisha B'Av related. And until I turned the page and got to the answer, it was a little bit stumping. So once you turn the page and see the answer, of course, it all comes rushing forward. But so I took this opportunity to discuss the Gemara, which is obviously very timely to Tisha B'Av. And from there, we'll branch off to many different halachas which are not related to Tisha B'Av, but nonetheless, Chazal, Berov Chachmasam, set up for us to constantly remind us of certain of this incident and to make sure it never gets repeated again. So let's first recap quickly the story of the Gemara. We'll speak it out outside. The Gemara tells us because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, Yerushalayim was destroyed. What was the story? There was a fellow who, interestingly enough, the Gemara doesn't even tell us his name. There was a fellow, we'll call him Pliny Almoni, an anonymous fellow who was making a party, was a wedding or some type of party, and he wanted to invite his good friend Kamtza. So he sends a shliach, he sends the messenger to deliver an invitation to his friend Kamtza. Seemingly the messenger, who also is anonymous in the Gemara, seemingly makes an innocent mistake and invites Bar Kamtza instead of Kamtza. And Bar Kamtza was the arch enemy of the anonymous party maker. So Bar Kamtza gets his invitation and maybe thinks it's a sign of remorse or some type of, you know, they want to make friends again with this guy. He doesn't really understand really why he gets the invitation, presumably. And he goes to this party. He comes to the party, he's enjoying himself. And when the party maker, we'll call again Pliny Almoni, sees Bar Kamtza's arch enemy there, he goes livid and tries to kick him out. And Bar Kamtza says, "No, please don't kick me out. I'll be very embarrassed. I'm offering to pay for my portion. Whatever I eat here, I'll pay for. You know, here's 20 bucks and, you know, it won't cost you anything. Just let me stay here." And the guy says, "Absolutely not," right? He wants him out. So he goes the next step. He jumps, "I'll pay for half the party. You know, you have 200 people here. I'll pay for 100 people's food here. You know, here's cash, COD right here, right now." And he refuses. And again, he pleads with him, "I'll pay for the whole party. Just don't embarrass me by throwing me out in front of everybody." And again, the host completely refuses Bar Kamtza's request and throws him out. Bar Kamtza is very upset about what happened, how he got so embarrassed. And he says, "There were many chashuva people, there were rabbanim, who were sitting by this party and did not protest to protect my honor. I'm going to go ahead now and turn face against my fellow Jews and become a malshin and go tell the Romans some bad things, some lashon hara about the Jews." So Bar Kamtza goes and tells the Romans that the Jews are rebelling against you. The Romans say, "Really? You know, we didn't know that. What do you mean?" He says, "Yeah, go see. Send them a carbon, send them a sacrifice for their Beis HaMikdash." And the halacha is that the Beis HaMikdash could accept the carbon oila from Goyim. And you'll see the Bar Kamtza tells the Romans that the Jews will not accept your sacrifice. And the Romans say, "Okay, we'll try." And they choose their choicest, nicest animal to send to the Beis HaMikdash out of respect. And Bar Kamtza on the way, and he's the shliach, he's the messenger bringing this carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, puts on a little blemish, a slight imperfection in the animal, something which is hard to notice. The Gemara says two options what it was. Excuse me, either it was something on the lip, very small cut on the lip, or something small in the eye, which to the regular onlooker or to the Romans who sent it, they would never have noticed that anything happened to the animal. But to the Kohanim, who are now going to be responsible to check the animal before it's put onto the Mizbeach, they would find it and they would deem it unfit, not suitable for the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what happened. Bar Kamtza bring this carbon, he put the mum on it, the Kohanim check it, and they realize that it has a mum on it. And they don't want to bring it, even though they know it's from the Roman government. And then the Kohanim say, "Well, maybe we should bring it." The Gemara says that the Rabbanon said we should bring it because Shalai Malchus, we should make sure we have peace with the government. We don't want to ruffle any feathers in the Roman government. If they're going to see we're not going to accept their carbon, perhaps there could be some negative consequences. So they were going to bring the carbon until one Chacham, the Gemara says, Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulos, gets up and says, no, we cannot allow this carbon to be brought because people will say that, oh, look, you could bring Balei Mumen, you could bring imperfect, and you could bring animals with blemishes onto the Mizbeach. The Chachamim listened to him, and they did not bring the carbon. Eventually, word got back to the Romans that the Jews refused to accept their carbon, and the Gemara concludes from here, because of the Anvesenusa, because of the humility of Rabbi Chaya ben Afkulos, that he did not want to allow this carbon to be brought, that brought to the continued destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, v'sarfa seichaleinu, v'heglisanu me'artzeinu. We were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. So, again, the Gemara starts off saying that because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, Yerushalayim was destroyed. We just quickly recap the story, and the end of the story also remarks with Rav Zechariah ben Afkulos, although he might have had the purest of intentions, but it was misplaced humility on his part, or maybe it's too naive on his part, that he did not allow the carbon to be brought. So one question I want to start with, which we're not going to answer right away, is the Gemara starts off with, because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Now, Kamtza did not appear at all in the whole story. Kamtza was the friend of the host, the person who was making the party. He did not get the invitation. He did not go to the party. He seemingly did not do anything wrong. Bar Kamtza was the enemy who got invited, who came to the party, who got embarrassed, and who eventually was malshin on Klal Yisrael. So Bar Kamtza is the bad guy of the story, is the villain in the story. What did Kamtza do wrong that the Gemara says that because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, Yerushalayim was destroyed? That's a question to think about, and we'll get to it, Be'ezer Hashem, as we go along. But first, I want to point out four halachos that we find scattered throughout Arachayim, throughout Shulchan Aruch, which the Chachamim tell us are rooted in this story. The first is in source number 2. This is a halacha in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. I'll read the Shulchan Aruch inside, and I'll explain. Misha Hishol Beis HaKnesses, someone who lends his house to become a shul. We call this in our term a shtibel. Mm-hmm. So you build a shtibel in your house, and it's your house, you own it, but you're letting the tzibur use your house as a shul. And you get into a scuffle, you get into some skirmish with somebody who's coming to your shtibel. Eina yachol le'esra. You cannot prohibit that person from coming into your shul, into your house shul. LMK yasrenu lekol hakahal keecha, unless you shut down the whole shul, basically. Meaning, if you have a private shul, again, in your house, and you dedicated your house to be used as a shul, like we said, it's called a shtibel, usually, in our terms, and you, for some of the person whose house it is, gets into a skirmish with somebody, he cannot aser that person from entering the shul. It's either all or nobody. Either shut down
skirmish?
The shul.
You mean you get some, fisticuffs or just an argument?
You get someone to argue, and you say, I don't want you entering my shul ever again. Okay. Whether it was physical or just verbal, that's
close down the shul.
Either close the shul or everybody's in. There's no, you can't pick and choose who's invited to your shul or not. That's the halacha. Where does this come from? So the Rishonim learn this is actually one of the Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom. We're all familiar with the Rabbeinu Gershom Ara Gola in time, the earliest of the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Gershom instituted various halachos that he set up, and the Rishonim agreed to them that will stand. The most famous one of the Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom is that a man may not marry two women. We all know in HaTorah a man is allowed to marry more than one wife. Rabbeinu Gershom instituted that a man may not marry more than one wife for our benefit. And the many other things that Rabbeinu Gershom instituted, their place can bring a list of them. Many of them are not so popular. Most of them we still keep today, but they got absorbed into halacha. We don't necessarily always attach his name to it. Interestingly, this is one of the halachas that Rabbeinu Gershom established, that a person who has a private shul cannot kick out a singular person who he does not get along with. Says the Mishnah Berura in source 3, says, he brings Rabbeinu Gershom, he says, why? In the second line over there where it's underlined, it says, the chashishu v'bizoyen dahu gavra, because we're concerned that we should not disgrace another Jew. Ayin gittin, nun, says in Zion, should be nun vav. As opposed to if you ask her, everybody's coming into your shul, then there's not an individual embarrassment, then you can shut down the shul. So says the Mishnah Berurah, the source for this halacha of Rabbeinu Gershom and Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, that if you have a shul, you cannot ask her a singular person, is from the halacha of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. We want to make sure that such a situation never repeats itself. Again, Kamtza Bar Kamtza's story took place by a party. It's interesting that we're learning a halacha for a shul from a party. Okay, it's something to think about. But it's the nature, it's the sight of the matter over here that If a person's going to cause a public embarrassment to a singular individual, even in a shul setting, or especially in a shul setting, it's not appropriate, and the source is from Kamtza Bar Kamtza. That's halacha number one we learned from Kamtza Bar Kamtza in regards to halachas of a shul. The second halacha is an Hilchas Suda. And this is in the next page, in source number four. The Shulchan Aruch over here is quoting a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim, very interesting statement, says, Hanichnas Labayis. I quote the Shulchan Aruch with the same lashon. The Gemara, someone enters, you're a guest in someone's house. Whatever the host tells you to do, you should listen. A good guest listens to his host, and he follows orders, whatever his host tells him what to do. Now, there's two words missing from this halacha that the Gemara concludes with, and that the Bir Halacha in source number 5 quotes it. The Mishnah Berurah in the Chofetz Chaim in Bir Halacha writes in source number 5, B'ktsas nuschois b'shas p'sachim, in some text in the Gemara p'sachim, the Gemara adds, Isa chutzmin say, unless the Baal Bayis tells you to please get out of my house, or get out of my house, one or the other, then you don't have to listen. You're allowed to stay. If a person invites you into his house, you're a guest, whether you're a sleeping guest, or you're just eating a meal there, you should listen to the Baal Bayis. But if he kicks you out, you don't have to listen to him. Now, what does this halacha mean? So one pshat, the Bach that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting here in the name of the Bach says that this halacha means any service when you're a guest in someone's house that the host requests you to do, you should follow your guest out of proper courtesy. You should fulfill that request for service. However, chutz mitzei means if the Baal Bayis wants to send you on an errand, can you run to the market for me and pick up 5 pounds of potatoes so I can make you a potato kugel? That you don't have to do. You don't have to start doing, you don't have to be his runner and run out of the house and start picking up his groceries or other items for him outside the house. That's not included in the guest responsibility. That's how the Bach learns. However, there's a fascinating story in source number 6 that's recounted by the children of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, as we all know, was a tremendous tzaddik and Talmid Chacham, and he was, most of his life, he stayed pretty much based in Vilna. And only very infrequently would he travel around and be seen in the public eye. But here in the Hakdama, an introduction to his comments on Shulchan Aruch, his children who published his comments on Shulchan Aruch after the Vilna Gaon passed away, they write a short biography and some short notes about the about their father, the Vilna Gaon. And they bring down a fascinating story that happened. He says, I'll read it and I'll explain it. It says, I'll saper al-chayk echad mehan ha-gaysav, I'll tell over. These are children of the Vilna Gaon talking on one of the actions, on one of the customs of the Vilna Gaon, that one time he was traveling and he went and he stayed by an upstanding individual and he's there for dinner and the Baal Bayis offers the Vilna Gaon, whatever it was, a piece of chicken and some potatoes and green beans. Please sit down, Vilna Gaon, I'll give you an appropriate supper, something to eat. And whatever the situation was, but the Vilna Gaon from traveling, his stomach was not up to eating a proper supper, but he didn't say anything to the Baal Bayis. He said the Baal Bayis is you know, so excited. The Vilna Gaon is here and he's pushing on him to eat. So the Vilna Gaon, although he was suffering from some type of stomach ailment, started to eat. After a couple of bites, he had to regurgitate that which he ate. The Pasha couldn't hold it down, so he excused himself for a moment. He took care of what he needed to take care of, and he comes back to the table. Now, if you or I were in such a situation, we would probably at that point, you know, politely decline any further food and say, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not up to eating right now. But the Baal Bayis comes in, sees the plate of food still full, and says, Vilna Gaon, es mein kind, right? Es, please eat a little more. And the Vilna Gaon now stuck because the guy keeps telling him to eat. So he eats again a little more, but again, then a few minutes later, he has to excuse himself and he expels or regurgitates his food. This happens 3 or 4 times. The Vilna Gaon is eating little by little and he keeps having to excuse himself to expel his food. The Talmidim ask him, say, Rebbe, what is going on? Just tell the poor Baal Bayis that you're not up to eating, you're not feeling well. The Vilna Gaon turns to his Talmidim and says, what do you mean? It's often a Gemara, there's a halacha mufresh in Shulchan Aruch. Whatever the Baal Bayis tells you, I say, and he says, it's underlined, V'heshev alei amru chazal. Whenever Chazal tells us we have to do something, we have to fulfill the words of Chazal. We don't have a choice over it. It's not an optional halacha, says the Vilna Gaon. So if Chazal tell me this is what I got to do, and the Baal Bayis didn't pick up on the social cue that I'm not up to eating, he keeps telling me to eat. So the Vilna Gaon was of the opinion that you have to just follow this halacha to the simplest, most simple reading of the words. Now, before anybody gets too nervous, Although this is a great story from the Vilna Gaon, the Mishnah Berurah does not quote this story. And in fact, in the Mishnah Berurah, in that halacha, I didn't put it in the sheath, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes Paiskim, who say explicitly not like this, the opposite of this, and it quotes the Big Deyesha and other Paiskim who say that if you're a guest in someone's house and you're not feeling well and you can't eat, you should tell the Baal Bayis. Now, if you would not have the backdrop of the story of the Vilna Gaon, you would have said, well, why does Mishnah Berurah tell me to? That's Pashit. Right? We would all, I would have thought, before I knew the story, that if the Baal Bayis would tell me, please eat, and I'm not feeling well, I would say, excuse me, you know, I'm just not feeling so well, please, you know, don't take it personally. I just traveled the whole day, you know, sometimes it happens, you know, traveling can knock a person out. I'm not up to eating. The Mishnah Berurah Paskins like that, but the Vilna Gaon, for whatever reason, in his Rav Chachmasai, decided that you have to take the halacha to the simple meaning. Okay, something to think about next time you're a host or a guest, how to properly ask your guests to eat food. You shouldn't be too demanding on them because maybe they're not up to eating it. Maybe they pass like the Vilna Gaon. And if you're a guest, you know, maybe you can use the Mishnah Berurah as a cooler that you can tell the host, excuse me, but I'm not up to eating. But be that as it may, the end of the halacha of Chutz Minsei, so the Sfasemes wants to explain in source number 7, where did this come from? Where did the halacha come from that the Baal Bayis tells you, please leave, you don't have to leave? Says the Sfasemes, Yeshloimar Shetiknu Kach Achar Hamaisa de Bar Kamtza. This was established after the story of Bar Kamtza, the Issa Banizok, and the Gemara in Gittin tells us, Sh'ira Kilkolai Deza, a terrible tragedy happened because of that Bar Kamtza was kicked out, Sh'aitziyoi Sh'nichrav Beis Hamish, because that the Beis Hamish was ultimately destroyed, V'lachain Amru, therefore the Chazal teach us from this halacha, Sh'biyad Ha'ireach Sh'loi L'shmaya Lotzeis L'pom. The guest has the option to tell the host, I am not leaving, I'm in and I'm not getting out. If there will be a great busha for him. So there's a second halacha here that, just an interesting twist, Chazal said from here, from the story of Kamtza Bar Kamtza, we've developed this idea that if a person feels that he's getting too mevuyish, even though he's a guest, he's a visiting team, right? He's not on home turf here. Nonetheless, he has this right to tell the host, I'm not leaving. He doesn't have to even offer to pay for half the party or the whole party like Bar Kamtza did. He could just say that I'm not leaving. So it's another interesting halacha that Chazal learned from Kamtza Bar Kamtza. The third halacha is in Hilchos Shabbos. This gets a little more technical. The halacha is that Chazal told us that we're not allowed to read certain documents on Shabbos because we might come to do forbidden things. It's the Rabbanon, for example. We're not allowed to read business contracts, electric bills, other things which are nageya to business, because that might lead us to write or erase or get involved in business practices on Shabbos, which are not appropriate. Now, besides that, Chazal took it one step further, and this is over here in Halacha Yud Beis in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows: Zimein Orchim, someone invites guests to his house before Shabbos. V'heichan lehem minei megadim, appears to them a whole feast, all types of dishes. V'kosav Ksav, Kama Zimein, Vekama Godim Heichlam. So he writes an appropriate balabasta before Shabbos. She knows she invited X amount of guests. She prepared X amount of food and X amount of portions. Everything is properly graphed out. So everything will be, you know, very nicely organized. Says the halacha, also likroisa b'Shabbos. You cannot read from those papers on Shabbos. Afilim hu kosav agabe kaisel gavoya harba. Even if it's put up high on the wall on a bulletin board, high up out of reach. Mishum gezer, because we're afraid. Shema Yikro B'Shtari Hedjoytus. You'll come to read other documents. Tahainu Shtari Chayvus V'Cheshbonos. If you're reading your menus and your details of your guest list and who's getting which portion, etc., who's gluten-free, who's vegan, you have all those details, everything's mapped out, we're afraid you're going to come to read other documents which are not appropriate for Shabbos. And the halacha continues, which we'll stop here for now in this halacha.
So it's not that you're afraid that they might suddenly realize, oh, this person's coming and they don't eat this, I better prepare something else.
Well, we're not afraid of cooking per se, but we're afraid of two things. We'll get to it in a minute, what exactly we're afraid of. But it's not a chashash necessarily that a person might actually cook on Shabbos. We have other chashash, we'll get to it in a minute. But let's just reiterate this halacha. The halacha is that a person's not allowed to read from this paper, this graph he prepared before Shabbos, with all the details of his guest and his food, because we're afraid he might come to read Shtori Hejaita. So the Mishnah Berurah in source number 9 says that there's two reasons for the depth of what Chazal said over here. Two reasons why Chazal were so concerned for this halacha. It says, B'gemara isa shnei time. The Gemara points out there's two reasons for this halacha. Echad, the first reason is, Shema yimukhoik min ha'archim min ha'magodim. What's going to happen is, you know, you invited these guests before Shabbos, so the woman invites the guests, or she prepared the food, and she has everything mapped out, and then Friday night, she starts getting nervous. Oh, I don't know if I have enough food. Maybe I shouldn't serve this because I don't have enough of this. I'll just serve one kugel instead of three kugels. And she start my, you know, we can understand, we can relate to this idea that things sometimes last minute, some people get nervous and they want to start changing things up. Maybe I should invite somebody else. That person doesn't go well with that person. They're going to start Xing out and crossing and making arrows and redoing the whole list. So we're afraid if you're going to look at that list on Shabbos, you might come to be moichek and come to erase something from the list. So it's a chashash that you might come to erase. That's the first reason why Chazal were afraid that you shouldn't look at these papers on Shabbos. V'oitam, and the second reason, later on in Mishmur, where it's underlined, is what the Shulchan Aruch says, because of the chashash that you're going to come to read Shtari Hedyotis, you're going to come to read other documents, the Zeh Aser. That's a simple halacha. But then the Mishmur says we have a problem. Because although until now we've been talking about the Balabasta, the Balabasta, who arranges paper before Shabbos, and they're the bosses, so they're in charge of what's happening. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out the Paiskim are saying that we see, though, that the custom is there's a shamish in shul, somebody who's appointed by the community who calls out after davening Friday night or something like that. You know, Yankel, you're a guest in town, you go to Shmerel's house. And Beryl, you go to this guy's house. And he has a list of all the guests and all the hosts in town and what's available food-wise and people-wise and everything. And he reads off this paper, the shamish, and starts telling people where to go. So what's going on? How is the shamish allowed to do this act if we just said that a person is not allowed to read off this list on Shabbos because we're afraid either Shema Yimchaik or we're afraid they're going to come to each Shtari Hedyotis? So first of all, the Mishnah Berurah says there are those that are machmir and say you shouldn't do it. It's not appropriate. You see it being done, it shouldn't be done. But then the last two lines of the Mishnah Berurah, above the last line where it's underlined, after the period there, it says, Omnam, however, Bishare Tshuva, in the Sefer Shari Tshuva in the Shulchan Aruch, he brings a source to be lenient, to allow the shamish, to read off the paper, to tell the guests where to go. Afil the suda harishus, even if it's not a mitzvah suda, that was one of the reasons we didn't discuss now, that if it's for a mitzvah, there's more reason to be lenient. He says, why? Dal hashamish may kara lo gozru. Chazal were never gozer on the shamish, not to be able to read off a paper. In order that the shamash does not make a mistake, and it should not come to a destruction and a devastation, like what happened by Kamsa bar Kamsa. How did the whole story get rolling? The shamash, the gabbai, the messenger who was sent by the host, the Pliny Almighty guy who started the Suda, made a mistake. Why did he make a mistake? Says the Paiskim, perhaps because he wasn't following directions properly. He didn't look at the list before he went to call. It wasn't on Shabbos necessarily, but he just wasn't doing due diligence to read the guest list properly, and when he went to invite Kamtza, he instead by mistake invited Bar Kamtza. Says the Shari Tshuva, says he's quoting a Shvus Yaakov, the Paiskim are saying, we have to be extra careful, even on Shabbos, when there's a chshash of might come to a race, or you might come to read other documents, these other concerns. But we have to make sure that such a story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa Chas V'Shalom should never repeat itself. So we're going to be makel and allow the shamish, the gabbai, to read off the guest list or the food list on Shabbos. And even though it shouldn't be done, but in order to avoid any mishap and any uncomfortable situation from arising between a guest and a host on Shabbos, in order to make sure Kamsa Bar Kamsa is never repeated, we'll be makel in Hilchas Shabbos and allow the shamish to read the paper. It's just an interesting concept. It will be it's a din d'rabbanan. We're not being makel on the rice over here. It's a chashash, it's a gezer d'rabbanan. But Chazal felt that in order, the Paiskim here are saying, in order to make sure we avoid any closeness to such a rehashing of such a story or shouldn't play out again, such a incident in history again. So we're doing whatever we can to ensure that no person gets improperly invited to someone else's house. That's the third halacha that the Paiskim say we learn from Kamta Bar Kamta. The fourth halacha, which is going to be the last time we're going to focus on Aruch Chaim that we learn from Kamta Bar Kamta, comes in the middle of Hilchas Sukkah. The halacha is, when it comes to buying the Dal and Minim, when it comes to buying an Esrog, a Lulav, the Hadassim, and the Ravos, a person has to spend money in order to fulfill these mitzvahs. Now, let's say a person buys an Esrog, and it's a kosher Esrog, whatever price it was, the basic price of an Esrog, a Lulav of an Esrog, and then a couple days before Sukkah, he has an opportunity to buy a nicer esrog, something which is more beautiful for the mitzvah. So is he mechuyav to do it or not? So there's a whole formula you have to follow how much it's going to cost you more. If it's basically less, a third or less more in price than what you paid till then, if able to afford it, the halach is you should spend up to a third more for the hiddur mitzvah. Okay, we're not going to get so detailed in that halach, that's the basic formula. Then over there, the Ramah comments and says, I'm going to start from the beginning where it's where the arrow is pointing. Haga, Misha ain't like esrig. If someone doesn't have an esrig at all, a shar mitzvah averis, or any other mitzvah that he doesn't have matzah, any other mitzvah which is a time it needs to be done a certain time of the year, ain't sarach levazvei zolei hain rav. You don't have to spend all your money to get that mitzvah. Ukamai sh'amru, like Chazal tell us, ha'mevazvei is someone who's giving out his money. Ayevazvei zoyse mechaymish. He doesn't have to spend more than a fifth of his life savings in order to fulfill the mitzvah. If a person has, and oh, do the math yourself, a person has $100 to his name, he doesn't have to spend more than $20 on the Luv and Esrig. If he can't get Luv and Esrig for $20, and it, all he has is $100, then he'll be able to, you should borrow from somebody else, Luv and Esrig. You're not potter from the mitzvah, you should try to fulfill in every way you can, but you don't have to necessarily buy your own. If you could get it for $20 or less, if that's somehow possible, then you should make sure to do it. Now, afilu mitzvah averis. Then says the Ramah, v'davka mitzvah saseh. This is particularly in regards to mitzvah say you don't have to spend more than a fifth. Avoloi saseh. But in order to ensure that you don't transgress a negative commandment, yitein kol mimoinoi koidim shiava. A person has to be ready to give up his whole life savings. Let's pick to my example before. It's pretty easy if you can relate to that. You have to give up your whole $100 in order to make sure that you don't transgress a specific lav in the Torah. Any lav, any of the 365 lavim that exist in the Torah, if a person's faced with the terrible nesayin that if he doesn't give up his money now, he will have to, it's not a question of life here, it's a question of money. If he doesn't give up all his money, he'll have to transgress a certain lav. The Ramah is paskening that a person has to be ready to empty out the bank or wherever else, wherever he keeps his money, in order to make sure that he does not transgress this lav. That's the halacha of the Ramah. Comes along the Magen Avraham over there in source number 11 on the sheets, where it's the arrow is pointing. It says, Mashma ketzatz. It seems to be begitin daf nun vav ubemaisa bar kamta. It seems to be from the story of kamta bar kamta shemutter lava aloisa say a person is allowed to transgress aloisa say mipnei emas hamalchus. Although we just said a person has to give up all his money in order to make sure that he does not transgress a lav. However, says the Magen Avraham, it's masha from the sugi of kamta bar kamta that if it's a story, if it's a situation of you're afraid of government something. Backlash from the government, then you're allowed to transgress lav. What's he referring to? So on the next page, on top of the page in source 12, is the Machzis HaShekel. The Machzis HaShekel is like a commentary on the Magen Avraham. He explains what the Magen Avraham is coming to say. And he brings down in the beginning, he recounts the end of the story of Kamta Bar Kamta, like we said before, where the Romans sent a carbon in the hands of Bar Kamta, and Bar Kamta put a mum in it, and the Chachamim wanted to bring the carbon, and Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkula said we shouldn't do it. But the Chachamim said we should bring a carbon. They want to be over a license. Say, there's an Isser min haTorah, there's a lav, that we cannot bring a carbon with a mum on top of a Mizbeach. Nonetheless, Chazal, Reiver the Chacham, wanted to push away that lav because of Shloim Malchus, in order to make sure that we're on good terms with the Roman government. However, Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkula said over here, there's a specific reason why we shouldn't do it, meaning conceptually, you're right. Conceptually, Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkula, we should push off the lav in order to be on good favor, on good terms with the government. However, he said he was afraid that there was going to be a bad outcome, that people are now going to say that Bali Mumin are allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach in any situation. The public will not necessarily pick up on this distinction about who sent the carbon. So at that point, the Chacham listened to Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulos, but says the Magen Avraham, the way the Machzis HaShekel is explaining it, what you see from here, the last line he says, Mashma, Lule Hai Gezer, if not for this Gezer that we are afraid that the Bali Mumin will be born on Gabi Mizbeach, Hayoivrim Aloysa say we are allowed to be transgressed, Eloysa say Lahakriv Bal Mum, to bring this Bal Mum on the Mizbeach, Mishum Shloim Malchus. So because of Shloim Malchus, so this is the Magen Avraham, is paskening that if a person is, you know, is Negev today as much as it was hundreds of years ago, there are times, sometimes we have to make certain inroads into the government to help out Jewish affairs worldwide or locally, whatever it is. How much wiggle room are we allowed when it comes to certain religious sensitivities? Are we allowed to look away in order to make sure we have Shloim Malchus? According to the Magen Avraham, you see from the story of Kamta Bar Kamta, we're allowed to transgress a lav, in order to make sure we're on proper terms with the government. That's what the Magen Avraham paskens. It's a mind-boggling halacha if you think about the ramifications for it or what it might have. All we learned out from this story of Kamta Bar Kamta. However, before we take it too far, the Mishnah Berurah does say in source number 13, he quotes the Magen Avraham and he ends off the last couple words over there. He says, "V'achroidim efakfikvim azeh." The Achroidim, he's quoting here the Prima Gadim, is not very happy with this kula of the Magen Avraham. The Hasa Bikuach Nefesh, maybe over there, it was only allowed to be lenient because there was a chashash of the chacham where we're going to be mako, because they were afraid if they wouldn't bring this carbon, there would be destruction, devastation, which ultimately, unfortunately, they were right. Right? But you can't necessarily take it to every situation where we just have to get something from the government. It's now going to allow us to transgress a law. Chas v'shalom, Mr. Brua is not happy with this kula of the Magen Avraham. But where is the Magen Avraham is coming from? Again, it's from the sugya of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. So those are four halachas to answer the riddle of how many times we find that, at least I saw brought down in Shulchan Aruch easily, that we see Kamta Bar Kamta reference to in a non-Tisha B'Av setting. But now to get back to a question I asked before, which to me was just I know there are many Mepharshim speak about this question, but when I saw the answer that I'm about to share with you, it was just a very mind-opening, overwhelming idea. Again, the Gemara started off saying that Kamta, because of Kamta and Bar Kamta, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Right, we know what Bar Kamtza did. It's very clear he's the villain of the story. He went and ratted it to the Roman government, made up a story about us, and he put an imperfection in the carbon, and he causes tremendous devastation. That's Bar Kamtza. But the Gemara equally blames Kamtza. Bar Kamtza was the enemy. Kamtza was the friend. The Gemara equally blames Kamtza. What on earth did Kamtza do wrong that forever now in history, he's now branded as an evil villain as well? So this question I saw brought up in the Sefer Chashuk Echemet, which was from Rabbi Yitzhak Zilberstein Shlita. He asked it from a different twist. He asked Chida. He says, "I have a riddle." He says, "Ketzad yitachin adam toiv? How could sometimes you see that person seemingly is good and ubekolze also the schaber love, and nonetheless you shouldn't be friends with him?" Right? We all know we're not going to be friends with bad people, with Rishayim. We don't want to hang out with Rishayim. But sometimes a person who might not be exhibiting certain behavior of a Rasha to us, nonetheless we should not be friends with him. And he quotes a Maharal. He says a couple lines down, he says, he asked the question of what did Kamtza do wrong. Veheshiv al kacha Maharal, a couple lines down over there, in the third line down in the tshuva, he says, Maharal explains as follows. Derech hamokom she'es b'yisun aschinam, the way of the world, that if there exists in the environment a feeling of sin aschinam, which existed, as Chazal tell us, at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, when this story of Kamtza Bar Kamtza happened, we were all suffering from a national disease called sin aschinam. Shalakeach, so in order for, we'll call a bully, in order to be a successful bully, bullying 101, you need a couple of things in order to be a successful bully. Well, you need to be a bully. You need to have someone to pick on. That's basic. But the bully, in order to make himself be successful, needs to have a chevra. Needs to have people around him cheering him on, or at least, you know, being his friends, or they can feel good about himself. He doesn't want to feel like he's just doing bad things to other people. So he has to be associated with certain people that'll be nice and friendly to him and maybe give him a pat on the back sometimes in order to enable him to keep doing his maaserishus. So says the Maharal, Shalakech Echad Oyev, a bully, we'll call him, I don't, for lack of a better word this minute, will take a friend in order to give him the more strength to argue on those people who he despises, who he hates. Therefore, the Gemara tells us it's because of Kamtza and because of Bar Kamtza the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. L'hayrais, to teach us, says Kashrus Bal Hasuda, the connection or the friendship that this host had Im Kamtza, the whole relationship that the host had with Kamtza was only kedei lekabel hechsher v'idud lechalek al Bar Kamtza, in order to give him, so to speak, a stamp of approval, a stempel that you're a good guy, you have a lot of friends. Kamtza was a friend of this guy. So look, the host was saying, plenty of money was saying, I'm a friendly person. I'm not such a bad person. I have a lot of people that associate themselves with me. I'm a good guy. Really, this love is based on achiluk v'apirut. It's really based on machloikis and separation. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, we see from here an amazing idea that we have to be careful who we associate ourselves with. I can get along with Yankel, and I can have a nice relationship with Yankel. He's very nice to me. I can be very nice to him. But if I know that Yankel is the type of person who's going around and pushing himself upon others, being a bully or other types of inappropriate behavior on others, so it could be that my relationship to him, maybe not even in an active way, maybe even a passive way, is enabling him now to go ahead and be aggressive to other people. And that's really what gave the host here the power just to put himself over Bar Kamtza and to be that type of person, is because he felt that he has such a good chevra of friends. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, you see from this Maharal, a very important insight that we have to be careful. We learn from this story who we're associating ourselves with. We think, okay, big deal, I can be friends with this guy. He's not doing anything wrong to me. I won't do anything wrong to him. I don't care what he does otherwise. I don't care the fact that he's a mob boss and otherwise he might, you know, knock people out that he doesn't like. No. If we're involved with this person, that's giving him now the power, the oxygen to keep himself going. And we cannot provide oxygen to such a Russia. He ends off by saying, he says, B'chai Gavna, Tzarech Adam HaTayiv Livroyach Imenu. A good person has to make sure he runs away from such people. V'loy Lischabrei Lov, and not to get associated with them. V'oysi Ois Chover, the word Chover in Hebrew, Ches Veiz Reish, Heim Gam Barach. It's the same words of to know when to flee. V'gam cherev, and also the words of a sword. The same word of a friend is the same word as barach, to know when a person is not a good friend, to flee from him, or sometimes it's a chaver acts in a way that's friendly to you, but he's using it as a cherev, as a sword, to stab other people with being associated with you. So I just wanted to add on to that a little bit. The same letters of chaver is also same words of rachav, of to be wide, because as Chazal tell us, k'nei l'cha chaver, we have to be active to make sure we get good friends. And the Mefarshim there explain that the epitome or the essence of a good friend is someone who could be help expand your personality, to help you grow in Torah and avodas Hashem. If our friends are not enabling us to widen our abilities to make ourselves become better people, and they're not a chaver, then maybe we should be barach from them. Like he's saying, be careful that we shouldn't become a cherev. Want to say something?
The sages also went to the party, So they should have gotten censored as well.
Good question. Who were those chacham? We don't know, but for some reason, you're right. You're right, and that's the Gemara says the chacham were by the party, and they were held accountable for it. But we don't know who they were. But Kamsa, for some, we don't now. Maral, at next page, you'll see the Maral in source 15. The Maral, when he speaks at this point that Ritzak Zilberstein was quoting, the way I understand it, I'm not going to go into it right now so much. You can look at it more, and it's in Netzach Yisrael Parakeh. He seems to learn that Kamsa and Bar Kamsa are not the real names, but they represent their midos. And he explains what Kamsa means, what Bar Kamsa means. I'm not getting into that so much right now, but it could be. The Chachamim put the Gemara, at least, taught it to us in this fashion to give us this lesson according to morale, but not tell us what their real names were, but just to teach us this important lesson. Want to say something?
What about the host?
How come we don't know his name? Someone asked me that question yesterday. I think it's... Why we should censure him as well, right? We should say, Reuven is the... Now,
he's the one behind it.
Right. I think you're 100% right. I don't have a good answer. The best I was able to think of... the past day when I was thinking about this question was that maybe since it was so pashut that he's such a Rasha, we don't have to even tell, like, Gemara doesn't have to teach us he did something wrong. That's clear from the story. It's a chiddush that Kamta did something wrong, but I'm not sure. I could be we develop a better answer.
There's three other questions. Maybe it's not for right now, but if the Rasha's having a party, how come the Chachamim were there?
Correct.
And then if the Chachamim were there in silent during the issue of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, how come the Korban is what's caused the blame of the base of English rather than the Chachamim being silent?
Well, we say both. We start off with Kamsa Bar Kamsa. We end off with Zechariah Ben Akkuz. They both. Are at both ends of the story, they're being held responsible. But let me just try to finish off with one positive point over here. So we know Chazal tell us that kol dor shlenivne beis hamikdash biyom, any generation that the beis hamikdash is not zoichet to be built in, so it's kilu nechra biyom, it's keilu was destroyed in this generation. So I wanted to share an idea I found this year in a medrash I saw quoted that I think was a chizik to me, and I think we can be machazik each other on this idea. And this medrash says as follows: it's a medrash in Shir Hashirim. The medrash says in Source 16, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim tells us, "Zedoydi v'zerei benois Yerushalayim." Kadosh Baruch Hu, referring to Klai Yisrael, says, "They are my beloved. They are my friend. The daughters of Yerushalayim." Excuse me. The medrash expounds the pasuk and says as follows: "Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu." Kol Misha Mevatel Tzrochov, anybody who pushes away things that needs to do. He has a list, a bucket list of what needs to be done around the house and his job, whatever it is. He has Tzrochov that needs to be taken care of. And he pushes them off, not because he's lazy, but V'yasha V'oisik B'Torah, he says, I'm now going to throw myself and get involved in some Torah aspect. Zez Doidi V'Zerei, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's my beloved, he is my friend. V'loi Oy, not only that, Elokilu Bona Beis HaMikdosh. By stopping what needs to be done, we'll just try to define that more in a minute. But in face value, the Medrash is telling us someone who's mevatel from his tzrochiv and says, "I'm now going to get involved in something of Torah." It's as if he built the Beis Hamikdash. He's building the Beis Hamikdash. Dichsiv benois Yerushalayim, which means benois Yerushalayim. We are now actively involved in building the Beis Hamikdash. So just to expound on this a little bit, maybe what this Medrash means is that. There's a mission of us. The mission of us says, "Al toimar likishefna eshne shem aloi tipana." Right? A person should never say that when I have time, I'm going to learn, because maybe you'll never have time. Mm-hmm. That's a simple reading of the Mishnah. But the Kotzker Rebbe learned the Mishnah a little differently. Al toimar likishefna eshne. Don't say when I have time, I'll learn. Because Shema Loiti Pane. Maybe the Loiti Pane time is the time you're supposed to be learning. Maybe the time when things are overwhelming. Maybe the time of things when things are seemingly, I have no time for anything. I'm so busy. Whatever we're busy with, jobs, house, family, whatever it is. That dafka is the time our Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you got to stop, drop, and roll. You have to stop right now and do something that's going to show your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah. Ki heim chayenu v'arechim einu. Says the Kotzker, al time of the kesh'efne eshne, kashema loy tipane. Maybe gufa, that time of loy tipane, that is your time you're supposed to shtaik. The Rosh Yeshiva Zatzar of Aaron in Mishnah Rabbah Aaron in source number 18, he quotes a chazal. The chazal says in Erevin, darshening a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, of Shechayrois Ka'orev, that Klai Yisrael is referred to their beauty like their black, young Bachar, is like his hair is black like a raven. So the Gemara darshins, B'mi Ata Moitza Torah, with who do you find Torah? B'mi Shemesim Atzai Achzori Ka'orev. Someone who makes himself an Achzori like an Oyrev. Someone who makes himself an Achzor, what's a good word?
Stubborn.
Stubborn or mean. Not nice. Right? Cruel like a raven. Asked Rabbi Zatzal and other Mepharshim, what's going on over here? Torah is Tchilasa Gemilas Chasam, Soifa Gemilas Chasam, Torah is full of chesed. Mar is now to darshing a pasuk, tells we should be cruel like a raven. So Rabbi explains as follows. He says, it's about halfway down where the photocopy got a little messed up. He says, Ach be'emes, he says, he brings first another chazal, just he says that we find that in order to be suited for the Sanhedrin, to be a spitz, a chacham, a dayan in the Sanhedrin Agadol, the Gemara says he has to be someone who's full of chesed. If he has to have children in order that he developed a certain level of rachamim that can only be possible if he involved himself with families. And he says Rabbi Aaron, ach be'emes, k'moisha yetzer roitza levatloi afamidas achesed, just like the Yetzirah is smart in a way where he often tries to pull us away from Torah with ways of chesed. He says, listen, Yetzirah tells us, you can't learn right now. There is this chesed to be done. And it could be true. There's a lot of chesed that's out there. A lot of opportunities for chesed. But sometimes we have to recognize that's the Yetzirah as well. The Yetzirah could come dressed up like a Chassidish Rebbe, so to speak. He can come dressed up in a way that looks very religious. But sometimes it's not appropriate if a person has to be involved in Torah at that point. U'mishtamesh b'kol emtzayim. The Yetzirah can get dressed up in any which way. Muchrocha adam ola Torah, a person has to push himself into the yoke of Torah. Gam kein lishtamish b'chol ha'ma'amotzim, to push himself with all efforts. Af li'asayis achzorin, even in order to make him seemingly look mean. Says Rabbi Aaron, though, be'emes ena kaina b'nafshei chas v'sham achzorius. B'nach chas v'sham, this means that a person will become an achzor, will become a mean, disgusting person. Ach tzorech lisnaig l'maisa gam lishloi b'machshavto l'asiach das mitzorom k'ilu hoi achzori. But he has to make it as if, listen, right now, I have designated that I have to learn. I have an hour seder, whatever it is. There's a lot of pressing needs that need to be taken care of, but this is Yarg Vayavar. This is my life, this is my oxygen. I need to do this now. Ah, there's other pressing needs that need to be going. I'm not talking about Pikuach Nefesh. Things I say, anything short of Pikuach Nefesh, this is the way it needs to be done. Ach tzarech lisnoig l'maisa gam lishloi. A person has to make sure he's in control. He finishes off two lines in the bottom, and have time to read everything inside. It says, Mash tzarech listader yisader belavach. He says, Abaron, often we'll find that things which need to be taken care of, if a person dedicates himself to learning when he's supposed to be learning, things will fall into place. Don't be so worried. Don't try to micromanage every situation and worry what's going to happen if I don't take care of it. If I don't change life, what's going to happen? Either you'll change it later, or you know what? Someone else might change it and you'll be able to learn. Don't worry. Now, of course, this has obviously to take it in a proper balance, but we have to have this focus, says Rabbi Aaron. We have to recognize this is a nisayin like any other nisayin in life, that often our time to learn Torah is challenged. I saw brought down a story from Chatzkel Abramsky, the Roshiva in Slobodka, Bnei Brak. He said he was once giving a shmooze in yeshiva, and he said like this, in my siddur, every morning, after Birchas HaTorah, we say Elul Dvarim, he says. And in my siddur, the last part of Elul Dvarim is we say, V'talmud Torah k'neged kulam. That's in my siddur. He says, looking around this room, he tells the Bachram in Yeshiva, I think some of you have a different nusach. Some of you have in your siddur the nusach of kulam k'neged Talmud Torah. Everything comes before Talmud Torah. And he went on to, you know, explain that we sometimes, unfortunately, we say Talmud Torah k'neged kulam, but we're not living it. In a similar vein, I saw in the Hakdometer of Shach Sefer and Avi Ezri, to keep in mind that the first print of Avi Ezri was printed in 1948. Now, for those who are, right, we're all familiar, 1948 in Israel was not a calm time. In middle of the War of Independence, Rav Shach was in Yerushalayim with the Brisker Rav, running back and forth between the sirens to finish up his Sefer. And his Hakdama to his Sefer, which again was written during the War of Independence, maybe that was the schus for the founding of a state perhaps, he says, Aval Ikra Avodas HaAdam, The main purpose of the work of a person, says Rav Shach, is l'hisroi mei me'al kavar dova ha-mafriya, to uplift himself from things which are seemingly bothering him and overwhelming him. When we toich hatzar, yam tzilai adam harvocha, v'shiyeh lo yishev adas v'tzluso. You want to have calmness and peace of mind and tranquility, says Rav Shach, throw yourself into learning. Ah, the Gemara says, Shmaita bai tzilusa, learning needs a certain peace of mind. A person can't learn if he's overwhelmed. Says Rav Shach, that's only going to happen. Where's your peace of mind going to come from? Not by being involved in so many other activities or being worried about if the bombs are going to form ahead or not. It's very challenging, of course, if you're living in a wartime. But Rav Shach is writing this during the war, and writing the only way to come to a place of calmness and steiging in Torah is to throw yourself into Torah. So just to emphasize this idea, the Medrash is saying, if you want to be zoich and ardar beiz Hashem, to not just ki'ilu bana beis hamikdash, but mamish be bana beis hamikdash, take this message. You know, we're all familiar with the station identifications. You're listening to something on the radio, they're up to a great part, and all of a sudden everything's got to stop for 15 seconds, station identification. So certain parts of our life, we're involved in other tiers, we can all take a station identification sometimes, even if it's just for 15 seconds or for 5 minutes, and stop what we're involved in and be Isaac in a Mishnah a day, or there's all types of other programs we can get involved in, learning whatever we want to learn. But with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see our dedication to Torah and Avodah, we should be Zeicha to the Bayna Beis HaMikdash HaShlishim here B'meinu Amen.
So what do you do with when you have the concept of Shalom Bayit? I mean, your wife says, I want you to, you got this, 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 and this.